Oh my god, it's the second to less apps. Whoa, my god.
The right, second of little labs.
We're starting over. Oh my. Shut up. Let me start the episode.
It's me. I'm Animal Crossing. It's me, Animal Crossing.
It's me. Hi. We are on the second to last episode of Kitchen Nightmares Reboot Season 1. Insert noises there.
You can tell that when we planned doing this podcast, we didn't. And we didn't one singular time look at the airing schedule. We at like no point looked to see, oh, they're taking off this week for the World Series. Oh, it ends this week. We not even a little bit of preparation did either of us do.
Okay. In my defense, there was no fanfare. So there's that. B, the finale was two separate episodes about two different restaurants, which doesn't make sense to me. So I don't know why that's how it was. But as of recording today, Tuesday, December 5th, last night, December 4th, was the series finale, season finale. I hope it's not the series finale. I hope they come back. But it was the season finale of this season of Kitchen Nightmares. And they aired episodes 9 and 10 together. But because we didn't think about that or plan that or even think to Google any time, we will be releasing episode 9 this week. And then as a fun treat to all of you, you will get episode 10 next week because
that,
I have
yeah,
a full-time
it's a plan
job. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's a plan that we thought up, like, I don't know, 2 hours ago. When was that?
Yeah, like, literally this morning when I woke up and looked at Hulu and was like, why are there two episodes on Hulu? And then I went on the Kitchen Nightmares Reddit and I learned a lot, so, you know. So there's that.
Not like kitchennightmares.com?
No, the Reddit's actually quicker to learn stuff from, surprisingly. Because they pinned the post.
I can't believe you would admit to going on Reddit.
I know. I'm actually slowly becoming a Reddit person. I don't know what's happening to me. It's on my phone now.
Don't do that.
I know. I need to stop.
Don't do that.
I need to stop. But I have the Kitchen Nightmares Reddit on... I have Reddit on my phone because I go to the Kitchen Nightmares Reddit specifically to post about Ramsay's recaps. Hello. Thank you, Redditors, for listening. But I also will go on there for Kitchen Nightmares information because it's all there. Even the secrets... episode that got taken off of TV that I want to do someday, but illegally I don't know if I should. So it's this episode in, I think it's season 3, it's called Oceania, and it's this restaurant in New Orleans, which is still open, and they have a couple of the locations, but it's a restaurant that was literally infested with bugs and rats. Like, Gordon was sitting in the restaurant and rats were running around.
No, I can't have that.
And then they sued, the restaurant sued Fox for defaming them. And so they took the episode off of all platforms. Like, you can't find the episode anywhere.
What is there to defame if the rats are on camera for being there?
They were saying that Fox, like, put the rats there or something.
Why didn't they Gordon continue was, like, with that fucking lawsuit? They would have lost.
I don't know.
Oh my god!
I don't know the details of it.
That's I'll look into fucking it more. Believable.
I need to look into it more. I don't know all the details, but I know it had something to do with, like, they didn't like the way they were portrayed in the episode, and so they sued Fox over, like, them giving them a bad rap, I guess.
That's why you sign a fucking waiver, and then they can do whatever they want with your face, and you can't say a fucking thing about it. And I know that they had to sign that. I am so positive that that wasn't, like, a detail Fox skipped.
I don't know, because this was back when, early 2010s, when reality TV was still newer, and Kitchen Nightmares was still newer, so I don't know. Maybe they didn't think all of that through. I'm just saying it's possible.
I guess. That's way less fun, though.
Speaking of fun, just news that I learned 10 minutes ago before recording this that I sent to Alana on TikTok. Did you know the FabFitFun box is fucking cursed?
Look.
I didn't know you got the FabFitFun box.
I've gotten the FabFitFun box for, like, 3 or 4 years.
Really? Is it
fun?
I mean, I guess it's not anymore.
It is absolutely fab. It is absolutely fun. I don't do the fit part because I like the makeup and the, like, food part. But yeah, no, fab fit fun. You sent me a TikTok about that one guy, Pearlmania, who I don't know his name, but he's quite funny and he talks about current events.
Yeah, he if you don't know him, he's this guy on TikTok who just screams about current events in a way that is both informative, funny, and highly relatable. So,
fab fit fun, when I describe that to other people, I say it's my box of shit because it's basically like, four times a year for every season, you are sent a box of literally just like when you first sign up, they ask you a few preferences. Like, do you like skincare? Do you like makeup? Do you like technology things? Like, what sort of little gifties do you like want? And they just send you a box of stuff. It's like six items. And it's like a $200 value of just like stuff. Like the one I got it like a last week. My winter fit fun box, which is why it's crazy that it's coming up now. And I got like a mascara from a brand I hadn't heard of. I got like a whole ass scarf. There was a throw blanket in there that is now on the back of my couch. It's like real things, like real full size items. And it's so great because it's only four times a year. So it's just enough time for you to forget that it's coming. And then it comes to your door. And it's like it's a little surprise. It's a little gifty for yourself. It's a treat yourself little box. If you like just stuff, and I love stuff, and I love opening boxes to have things inside. It is perfect for me, and now it's bad.
So, according to Pearlmania and this like Reddit situation, the two men who own FabFitFun, because it's two men who own it.
Which I didn't know. I was sure that was for ladies. I was sure it was lady-owned for lady consumers.
Yeah, I thought for sure, like, Gwyneth Paltrow, Gwyneth Paltrow the second owned it or something.
I don't know, I just thought it was some girl boss.
Well, they girl boss too close to the sun, for sure, because these two men apparently love Elon Musk, and because Twitter is tanking right now because Elon fucked it, a lot of people are taking their advertising off of Twitter. Like, a lot of companies are no longer advertising on Twitter because they don't want to give Elon money. And so FabFitFun, who is run by two men who love Elon Musk, said that they are going to invest like $100,000 more into Twitter advertising. And then they said, if anyone sees the ad or sees our Twitter and, you know, uses FabFitFun, or you want to start using FabFitFun, you can use this code to get like a bunch of free items in your next box. And the code was go fuck yourself.
Which is like, I kind of want to look.
Well, people were saying it was working. I don't know if it's working still. We might have to like check that. But yeah, I guess a lot of people are now unsubscribing from their FabFitFun box, and in the like little window where it says why do you want to unsubscribe, they're writing code go fuck yourself, which is also very funny though.
It means that I'm gonna also have to do that because I can't stand elongated muskrat, and I don't want to support people that are actively giving him money for no reason.
And you know what? I want my FabFitFun box to come from a FabFitFun lady, not two dudes.
That's the biggest betrayal of the year, I think. No, Matt Rife is nothing compared to this particular controversy, in my mind.
Alana's world is upside down.
Alana's world is upside fucking down. At least Matt Rife made sense.
Yeah. With his weird chin. I don't want the FabFitFun app. I wanted to go to the website.
Oh my god, I'm so sad. What am I going to do without my quarterly box of shit?
I'm pretty sure there's about 50 other million boxes of shit that you can get every month.
If there are other boxes of shit that I can get every season, I'm going to need you to sponsor us immediately.
Yeah, remember like Loot Crate was the one for nerds?
Never heard of that in my life because I'm cool.
Oh. Well, there's a bunch that are for, like, specific countries will send you, like, a box of, like, fun snacks from their country. Like,
well, that's different. Japanese one. No, that's different. You know why that's different? Because that's for specifically food. And, like, I do a couple that's specifically for clothes. This one was just everything. It was just everything. Loot Crate is, like, specifically something. This was just, like, stuff for girl bosses. It was just things!
It's just things!
I have so many, like, I have, like, a bunch of dishes and, like, really cute serving plates and so many of my bowls. And Courtney knows the lore behind me and my bowls, which I'm not going to get into on the podcast today. But I have so many, like, replacement bowls that came from there. I have, like, pitchers. I have clothing items. I have blankets. I have, like, little tech gadgets. It's going to be a huge loss for me. But I've been funding Elongated Muskrat for 3 to 4 years is what that means, and that is gross.
Well, you're funding the people who want to fund Elon Musk. I don't think they were funding Elon Musk until now.
It's also a weird business model because it's $50 a box, so it's $200 a year.
Yeah,
but each box is a value of about $200 unless they're lying. But some of those things like feel like they're more than $200 in total, so I don't know where they're getting that money.
I don't know what type of business model that is where you can just get items into... The promo code's not working, so there's
that's
that.
That's too bad.
But I imagine they probably get a lot of free stuff from companies who want to be in the box. And then they hope that because you open the box and saw their brand name that you're going to be like, oh, that candle I really liked. Let me go on their website and buy it from them.
Let me tell you, I've never done that once.
Yeah, that's the problem with that type of marketing is that it only works on certain people. And I know I'm not the person that would work on. I'd be like, oh, neat, a candle. And then I would move on to a different candle.
Yeah, not once did I ever do that. Because, yeah, then it takes 3 months for that candle to go. And then the next box comes and there's a different candle.
Yeah.
I haven't gone out and sought out eye cream in 3 years. Because every couple of boxes, there's an eye cream. And then I have eye cream. They all feel the same to me.
Yeah, I don't know the difference. I'm not a skincare girly, so I couldn't tell you.
Oh, you're gonna wish you were one in 10 years, baby.
So here's the thing about me is I have really, really oily skin, and I won't wrinkle because of that. So
that's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, my dad's like that's not also wrinkly. Not me and him.
Correct.
Like, my dad is 53, and he doesn't have wrinkles.
That doesn't have anything to do with this.
I'm just like my dad. I literally have inherited all of my dad's traits, good and bad, so, you know. Well, me and my father are the same.
It's funny because me and my father are also the same.
Yeah, it happens to the oldest daughters, doesn't it?
It does.
We just become our fathers. Somebody's got to, I guess.
Yeah, I always thought we were supposed to become our mothers, and that is absolutely not happening to me.
No, it's not happening to me at all. Well, speaking of mothers, I don't know why. Jennifer, who owns Max's Bar and Grill, has three kids with her ex-husband, and they run a restaurant together. Isn't that fun?
It's terrible.
Welcome to Ramsey Recaps, the show where we transition.
Oh my god.
I'm so tired. I have not slept well, like, in 4 days, and I couldn't tell you why. So, you know.
What, do you want, like, a medal?
Yes, I do. I want the sleepy, sleepy little guy medal.
I want the medal for the worst sleep.
I want to be the sleepiest guy. That is my new goal in life.
Get out of here.
What's not a fad fit or fun is ruining a 100-year restaurant legacy. Is that a better transition?
That was fantastic. I take it all back.
Thank you. We're getting better. Today's episode 9 of this Kitchen Nightmares reboot, we are back in New Jersey. We're on the Jersey Shore, right in the shore. We're in Long Branch, New Jersey at Max's Bar and Grill, which is owned by Jennifer. She is the third generation of her family to own the restaurant. It was opened by her grandfather in the 50s, but the restaurant itself has been there since the 20s, I believe she said. So it's a 95-year-old restaurant. It is literally 95 years old as of filming of this episode, which was this year. Big legacy to uphold, and this lady, Jennifer, is running the restaurant. Her ex-husband is the kitchen manager, Jake. They have three kids together. And then, on top of that, the bar manager is MK, Mary Kate, who is Jake's girlfriend.
Which is not the choice I would have made.
Which is a choice for sure. I would have made a different one.
Not the one I would have made.
It is interesting. Jennifer, her ex-husband, his girlfriend are all running this restaurant together, which in the first opening segment, MK says that she is trying to help. I got the sense that she was trying to push Jennifer out a little bit because she's very much on Jake's side. And I hate Jake. I'm just going to throw that out there. First of all, he's such a fucking wet blanket. He's so milquetoast. He doesn't have a backbone. He has done nothing to support Jennifer or MK in that manner. He just stands there and watches them fight. Like, do something. Be better at your job.
Ugh. I'm glad that you have MK, words. I'm glad you have words to say about Jake, because I didn't think about Jake once in this episode.
But that's my problem.
I saw him a little bit, and then I immediately forgot that he existed until I saw him again. And I was like, oh, that's right, you're the connection.
But that's my problem, is that he is so forgettable. And you're literally the kitchen manager. You're supposed to be leading the kitchen. You should be the loudest fucking person in that restaurant. It shouldn't be Jennifer being like, hey, I've been waiting an hour for a fucking hot dog. Can I have a hot dog, please? What? I'm, like, so mad already. This episode made me so mad. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, imagine being in that room, right? Like,
oh my god, those poor servers were all, like, just, like, please let me out of here. Like,
so, I mean, I know we're gonna get more into it. I feel like I'm giving commentary before events happen. But, like, the way, I mean, I'm not saying that Mary Kate was, like, correct in the way. Actually, I'm gonna let you talk more. I'm gonna let you talk about their screaming matches more. Okay. Sorry.
Well, so we don't get a ton of the... We get some of the screaming matches in the beginning because they're always fighting over, like, little things. Like, Mary Kate was like, hey, you need to, like, check off people when you seat them so we can keep track of how many people are in the restaurant and where they're sitting. And Jennifer's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I don't have to do that. And then Mary Kate was getting on her about not rolling up silverware or something. And Jennifer was like, I'm not a server. I'm just filling in for somebody. Like, I'm literally doing other things. So it always seemed like little things like that is what they were fighting over, which is also stupid. But so, then whenever Jennifer would try to get Jake to do anything in the kitchen, which we'll get to during the dinner services, Mary Kate would tell Jennifer to, like, back off and let Jake do. Like, there's a whole moment where Mary Kate is like, she's just being mean to him and yelling at him and he's overwhelmed. And I'm like, bitch, the kitchen is not even that busy. It's hot dogs. Sorry.
So. Okay. Here's how I interpreted it. I don't think anybody's a good person here. Just to clarify.
Yeah.
But what I was kind of seeing was Mary Kate would come, and from the editing we saw, it would start quiet. Mary Kate would go to her and be like, hey, Jen, you, like, this is not how we do things. And then...
Yeah.
I think Jen was more of a button pusher than I think we were giving her credit for. And this is, here's a personal anecdote that is making me think of this. So my sister, who also works at a restaurant, she's the assistant catering manager at a restaurant. So she organizes all of the big parties. And now that it's like December, it's Christmas party season. So she is doing all of the communication back and forth with people who are trying to plan parties, who are all getting lunch, parties of like 30, 40, 50, a couple, like that sort of thing. And she called me yesterday to be like, I've met the worst woman in the universe.
Classic.
And the worst people in the universe are not the ones that yell, in my opinion. So it had all been set up, and it was very much that the ladies, it was, I hate to say, but like a group of ladies, it was like a women's club, were going into it with the whole mindset of like, I'm gonna get a deal where I can. Whatever you have, it's too expensive, and it should be $10 less. And so everything was a negotiation about what can be less. So they had a whole plan. They were gonna, like, sit inside and have a buffet and all of this. There was, like, drama about tablecloths. But it was all kind of set. And so the host of the party showed up about the time she said she would show up to set up. But instead of going inside the restaurant, like what people do when they go to a restaurant and they know that they have a spot inside because you've been emailing for 8 months, she wandered around the side past, like, the dumpster to get to, like, the patio, and she had to, like, climb over bushes to get there. she was, like, wandering back there. And then a cook who was taking her break on that back patio had to come out, get my sister, and be like, there is a woman just a-wandering. She says she's with a party, and she seems very angry. So they went and they collected the woman, and they brought her inside to where they're supposed to be. They collected the woman, and she was upset because she was like, I've been emailing you for 8 months, and you said everything would be set up right now, 3 o'clock, for me to come and put up decorations, and it's not set up. You're not even ready for us. And my sister was like, it is set up. It's set up inside. It's set up inside, like we talked about. And this woman went, oh, well, see, I was just sure that you didn't do it. You just, like, didn't do it right. And my sister was like, okay, well, you assumed incorrectly, right? Because you went out there to a space where there was nobody. So the next logical thing to assume is that maybe it's somewhere else, right? Not immediately that someone was, like, out to ruin your day. The other example she gave me of this woman from hell was that there was a lot of drama about tablecloths. These women were very specific. They wanted tablecloths on the tables. They wanted a specific brand of tablecloths. They went and they got all the tablecloths, and then my sister, she bought a couple extras just in case. So she is explaining to this woman, here are, you know, all the tables with tablecloths, and then here is a table over here without a tablecloth. It's just an extra table. You said you might want, like, a gift table, so I have that here just in case. And the woman goes, oh, so it's extra. Okay, I just assumed that you forgot to put a tablecloth on that one. My sister was like, well, no, because I know what we talked about, right? She said, yeah, I just assumed that you were not going to tablecloth that one, and that you just had one here blank just because, and I just thought you would know about that. My sister was like, nope, it's, so let me go get some extra tablecloths because I planned for this. And then so she goes, she puts down one tablecloth and she says, oh, this tablecloth isn't big enough. Let me go get another one to layer it over. So she left the table with one, like, half clothed, basically half clothed,
half dressed.
And she left and she came back 90 seconds later with another tablecloth. And this woman said, oh, you're back. I thought that you were just done. I thought you were just going to leave it half. You're just going to leave it half done. My sister was like, no! No! Like, first of all, I explained to you to your face that I would be back in 90 seconds. Second of all, it's the attitude that someone is just out here to ruin your day. Like, that's the attitude you're going into.
This is why I can't work in customer service, because I would be like, bitch, you heard me say I was going to be right back. So, do you want to do my job?
Like, exactly. So that's why it's worse. I would rather have somebody just yell at me. I would rather just have someone call me a stupid fucking bitch. Because the passive aggressive of it all is what's so fucking frustrating. And that was kind of what I was getting from Jen. That would escalate and perfectly push Mary-Kate's buttons until she lost it and yelled and, like, behaved inappropriately from there. I think it is not cool that Mary-Kate was, like, yelling at her like she was. But I think that Jen had a degree of, like, oh, well, clearly you just think that I don't know anything, so I should just go fuck myself, right? And that was when Mary-Kate would be like, well, no, I'm trying to help you. And then they would escalate, and then Jen would be like, don't yell at me! You're yelling at me! So there was, like, the same pattern of button pushing that they could not get out of. And I was like, Mary-Kate's right at her core. She wants to help. And she, like, Jen was being edited like she didn't have a goddamn clue how to run a restaurant. She didn't know about roll-ups or any of that. And just because you're not a server doesn't mean you can't learn how to do a roll-up, you know, like, team player. But then, you know, Jen would be passive-aggressive about it. And then Mary-Kate would get really, really mad too quickly. So disaster all around. But I was like, I see what's happening. And Jen is not innocent.
No, I don't think, I'm not saying Jennifer's innocent. I agree with what you say about her and Mary-Kate. My problem with MK specifically is when she comes to defend Jake, when I don't think Jake should be defended. I think they should both be on the same side of like, Jake, you're fucking this up. You're being lazy. You're just standing there and not talking. And he says he's introverted. He says he doesn't really know what he's doing. And it's like, dude, get it together.
It did need a degree of like, hey, ladies, let's not yell, right? Like, or even just, hey, ladies, yeah, go talk outside. It could have been that simple.
Like, he could have just solely been there to be like, hey, why don't we save this for when, like, the restaurant's closed? Why don't we talk about this later? Why don't we have, like, a meeting about this later? Like, just be a fucking mediator. If you want your girlfriend to work at the same place where you're working and it's owned by your ex-wife, you need to be more respectful because you're on thin fucking ice, my guy. Like,
so we gotta talk about the actual thing that was crazy, which was, like a couple of employees quit. And so Jen's first instinct was to call her ex-husband's current girlfriend to come in and help. Which I'm like, there's no one else you could have called. There's not a single other soul that you could have called to come in and help you out. No one at all.
It, like, doesn't... It boggles the mind. Like, I don't understand it.
Like,
you're in New Jersey. You're on the Jersey Shore. There's got to be anybody else who could be, like, a server.
Yeah,
or
like,
maybe
I get...
one of your longtime servers could be a manager now. Like,
yeah,
come on.
I absolutely get that she had restaurant experience, and that's probably why she thought of it. But, like, girl, pick anyone else.
Girl.
Pick anyone else.
Girl.
And it would have been one thing. It would have been so much more spicy if this had happened and Jake was like, well, let me slide my girlfriend in there. It was like, Jen was so clear on camera to be like, I reached out to my ex-husband's current girlfriend, Mary-Kate, to come in and help me out when I was in a bind. And now I don't know why she's yelling at me.
And now she's mad at me.
And I was like, you have to wonder how you got here. I hate that it's a surprise to you.
You're probably wondering how I got here.
Yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I got here.
So, all this to say, Gordon arrives, and he says the iconic line that he's trying to keep the buns in the seats, LOL, because it's a hot dog place. He walks in, and he's like, it looks like Granddad's garage, and I was like, it does look like a garage in there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Everything is just like cement floor, cement bricks, big garage doors for, I'm assuming, when it's sunny and warm and they open them for the outside.
Yeah, I could tell because I, like, have no mental picture. Like, I watched the episode, I sat there and I looked at the screen, but I wouldn't be able to tell you a single thing about how it looked.
Yeah, it was a gray box, basically.
Yum.
And so, yeah, which is... Again, wild that it's been there for 90 years and it's looked like that. I'm sure, like, it used to look better at some point, right? Like, it had to. So, Gordon sits down and immediately he's on about the size of the menu. He's just like, it's too big. It's too big. Everything's going to be frozen. And so, he orders the nachos, the homemade chili, the mac and cheese bites, the Barney hot dog, which we have a lot to say about the hot dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Chicago dog. So he gets his three appetizers first. He immediately clocks the mac and cheese bites as being frozen. And the waiters are like, yeah, they're frozen. He says they're, like, all breading, no mac. So, disappointing. He eats the nachos, and he says they're not seasoned, and the cheese isn't even melted. And then he gets the chili, and he says there's hardly any chili in the bowl, and it tastes weird. That was
it
the
looked
only
like
complaint
glue.
He had.
It looked like jelly looked or like- something.
It looked like salsa.
It looked like the caramelized onions and tomato jam that I made the other day, which are, like, that's not chili.
It was served in a French onion soup bowl. So I thought they were giving him French onion soup, and I was like, he didn't order French onion soup. Also, why do they have French onion soup here?
It feels like I know where Gordon stands in the chili debate of whether or not it has beans, because he was specifically like, there isn't any chili in here. And then it was like a pretty full bowl of like red sludge. And I was like, Gordon thinks that chili has beans. He's a bean guy.
I would say I'm a bean guy when it comes to chili.
I think that without beans, it's not chili.
Right? Like, it's just a meat sauce, then.
It's like, just like a sloppy Joe. I feel so strongly about this.
No, chili needs beans. Like, I agree with you. You need beans and chili.
These food debates, they come and they go, and usually I don't have an opinion. But this one I do, because I'm like, it's actually without the beans, it's not chili. It's just sloppy Joe. No, it's ground beef and a little bit of tomato in a bowl, which is a weird way to eat it. Not over pasta.
Yeah. Yeah, if you put it over pasta, then it's like a bolognese.
Exactly.
So he doesn't like the chili. He says it's weird. Then he gets the hot dogs. And these are supposed to be the big catch here. We hear a lot about the hot dogs in the beginning of people thinking that they're... Like, one guy was like, it's too soggy. It fell apart. And then Jake was like, it has chili on it. Of course it gets soggy. And I'm like, no. You're not toasting the buns correctly. You gotta toast those buns. Like, come on, dude. He gets the Barney. Jennifer sets it down and says, the onions are homemade. And he's like, what does that mean?
I'm so glad Gordon reacted, because I did an audible, like, what? And I almost texted you, and I was like, the onions are homemade. And then she walked away, and Gordon was like, wait a minute. The onions are homemade?
Like, it took him a second. Because she walked away, he was like, thanks, love. And then he looks down, he looks back up, and he's like, the onions are homemade?
Poor Jen. She didn't know what she was saying.
No, she was trying anything to make Gordon like the food.
Because she's like, here's your food, and she put it down, and then she took a step away and then, like, looped back and was like, the onions are homemade, and then, like, slinked away.
I think she meant, like, we caramelized them in-house, which, like, I sure fucking hope so. Like, what? So, Gordon picks up this hot dog. He deconstructs this hot dog. It has, like, caramelized onions on it and some other shit. And he picks up this dog. And first of all, these dogs are, like, foot-long dogs. These are big dogs. He looks at it, and it's wrinkly. And he says, this has more wrinkles on it than my granddad's dick. And he's been dead for 10 years.
I didn't realize he said dick. I thought he said ass. But dick is funnier.
I thought he... Why would it be his ass?
I don't know. Asses can be wrinkly.
It's a hot dog. He made so many dick jokes this episode because of the hot dogs.
Well, I missed this one. I got all the other ones.
Shroom! Right over the head. So he says that great line, and then he says that it's reminiscent of a bison's cock or dick. They bleeped it, but I think he said cock.
It felt like cock to me. In my heart, it felt like a cock.
Yeah, and they tend to say cock more than dick over there in jolly old England, so, you know.
I've never seen a hot dog look like this.
I've never seen a hot dog. They're wrinkly and, like, shriveled and, like, burnt. He spits it out and says that it tastes like chemicals and salt. And then he gets the Chicago dog, and he picks it up, and it's fucking split down the middle, like the Grand Canyon. And
I've never seen that before in my life.
It's because, A, Jake doesn't give two fucks about anything. But later we learn during dinner service why the hot dogs are like that. And it's because that they just, like, leave them on the grill for an hour. It takes, like, an hour. They cook the hot dogs for 20 to 30 minutes. Jake literally says we cook the hot dogs for 20 to 30 minutes on the grill. And Gordon's like, what the fuck are you talking about? It takes 8 minutes to cook. It takes 2 minutes to cook a hot dog.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
You, like, microwave them in less time than that.
Do you know what tastes better than those wrinkly-ass dick dogs? Any other kind of hot dog. Microwave
Seriously.
It. Boil it. Throw it on the frying pan for 2 seconds. I'll eat it raw. I don't give a fuck.
Don't eat it raw. Please don't eat it raw.
Well, hot dogs are cooked, so you can eat them cold, but, you know, just raw dogging that dog. Really,
oh my
made
God.
Myself laugh at that one.
But yeah, I've never seen a hot dog look like that before ever in my life, and I didn't ever think I would need to.
I feel like they weren't even keeping them in brine, because you know how hot dogs come in, like, a juice? You have to keep hot dogs in, like, a juice to keep them moist, otherwise they shrivel up and they get wrinkly and they dry out. Because, like, it's just, like, meat in intestine. Like, it's gonna get dried out. Like, my guy. It's like, but also, like, if you can't cook a fucking hot dog, what are you doing in a kitchen? Get out. Go away.
That's true.
Get anybody else.
That's
Hire any dad hire any dad in New Jersey. They can cook a fucking hot dog. Like, my
any
God.
Any dad anywhere. Like, go outside the any restaurant dad. Onto the street and pick any middle-aged guy.
Ask him if he can cook a hot dog on a grill, and he'd be like, fuck yeah, I can cook. And he was like, come cook 30 of them for me now. He's like, I got this. Give me a beer. Like, it's not hard. So, Gordon sits down with Jennifer, and they have the wildest conversation about the legacy of this restaurant and how Jennifer has had people say that people will come to her and be like, my dad's last meal was a Max's hot dog. I put a Max's hot dog in my dad's coffin.
And I was like, who said what? That to you? Because we need to shoot them.
I need to see their face. I need them to come on camera right now. I need them to give an interview about why they love this restaurant. I need them to kiss you on the mouth. Like,
this must be from like 15 years ago.
Truly. And then she tells Gordon about like all the stuff with Jake and MK and how they're not respecting her. And Gordon kind of has the same sentiment I did of like, if they're not respecting you, then fucking fire them. But Jennifer's whole thing is that she doesn't want to fire or get rid of Jake because the money that she gives him goes back to their kids, which is like fair because they have 3 kids together. But like, your business is going to fail, and then neither of you are going to have money for your kids.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he should get a job that he's better equipped for instead of running a kitchen, which he's clearly not good at.
Were they co-owners? Like, or was she the owner? Okay.
They only said that she was the owner. So I was like, so he doesn't own any part of this business.
Okay.
Why are you keeping him here?
I was like, kind of under the impression that they both owned it, which was worse to me. So.
And the logic of, like, the money I give to him goes back to our kids, I guess is fair, but also, like,
you can just also give your own money to your kids.
Yeah, because it's like, that's your money, though. You're just giving it to a second person, and then they're giving it back to you. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's just that they're going to the same place. Either you give it to him who gives it to the kids, or you give it for the kids. Like, it's the same.
It's the same. And then she tells Gordon that she's over $1 million in debt, which is absurd.
Too much.
For a hot dog place. It's too much money for a hot dog stand. I'm so sorry to say.
Yeah, I know, you're right.
Jake and Gordon meet. It's the most boring conversation in the world where Jake just goes, yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. I have passion. Yeah. And Gordon's like, cool, whatever. And then we get to the first dinner service. Gordon's filled the restaurant with people from the community, as he likes to say, which means they put out a casting call on Craigslist. And then he goes into the kitchen, and it's an interesting setup because there's, like, the bar, and then it's like a diner setup where it's, like, a counter with the window, and then you can see back into the kitchen, and then the people expediting are kind of, like, behind the counter, and you can kind of, like, watch it all happen, which means that all the customers can hear all of the fighting, which is so cool for them. And all of these poor servers are just, like, walking on eggshells all the time, like, not having a great time.
Yeah, it's not good.
MK says that Jake's overwhelmed at one point, and I'm just like, dude, there's 20 people in this restaurant, and you're cooking hot dogs and french fries. You are not allowed to be overwhelmed. Yeah. Gordon says, you should be 10 times busier than this, and if you're getting overwhelmed with this amount, you're screwed. They have no systems in place, it seems, because it doesn't seem like all the tickets are having the correct items on them. It seems like they're losing tickets somehow, or tickets are out of order. I don't know what's happening with the ticket system, but it seems not to be computing correctly between the server and the kitchen. And, like, at one point, MK goes into, like, the backyard to, like, cool off or something. And I wrote that MK was being kind of a bitch, but it seems like she just doesn't want Jennifer to ever say anything bad about Jake. But in this instance, in dinner service, Jennifer was literally just telling Jake to do his job. Like, she was going up to the window and being like, hey, I need nachos for table 21. Hey, this person's been waiting for an hour. Hey, where's this? Hey, what happened to that? Like, she's just going up and asking where fucking food is because people have been waiting for an hour for a hot dog.
Yeah.
And MK keeps trying to defend Jake in this moment. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You can't defend him. He's bad at his job.
Like, yeah.
Like, anybody can cook hot dogs. I'm sorry to say it. Like, I'm sorry. Like, hot dogs are not the hard food.
It's you Google, you know? But also, like, he wasn't making only this because wasn't the menu gigantic? Like, he wasn't making
the menu was gigantic,
so he probably put them on the grill and then had to make other stuff.
But also, Gordon was saying that it shouldn't be that difficult because they're all cooking frozen food too. Like, all of their fried food is frozen, which means that, like, Burger King can get it out faster than you. Like,
yeah, I don't want it to sound like I'm defending Jake. I would never want anybody to think that. I am not Team Jake.
I would never defend a man.
I would never defend a man.
They're not fab fit or fun.
They're not. Not a single bit. And I thought I had a butt, but I don't. I just want it on the record that I'm not defending him.
Here's my butt. But then Jake tells Gordon that they're overwhelmed and that the kitchen was pushed to the edge. And Gordon's like, shut the fuck up.
That's what Gordon's there for.
So then they have a staff meeting with everyone.
Which wasn't it their first staff meeting in like 15 years or something?
It was their first staff meeting in 2 years because they just never do that. One of the servers is like, yeah, I'm new and it's weird here, guys. And then MK literally gets on her knees and is like, I'm begging you to take my help.
That was a little dramatic. She didn't need to do that.
It was a little too much for me. And then in the middle of the staff meeting, Jake is like, hey, Gordon, can I have a one-on-one? And they're like, and Gordon's like, yeah, sure, bud, let's go. And then Jake just goes back and kind of repeats what MK... This is also where I get a little iffy with MK and Jake. Because they're both just complaining about Jennifer to Gordon. They're not complaining... They're not saying anything else what's wrong with the restaurant. They're just saying Jennifer is what's wrong with the restaurant. And that they're complaining that she doesn't listen and that the food isn't that bad and that they're just trying to help. But I'm like, there's a disconnect there for me that I don't love.
Yeah, the psychotic thing there is that the food isn't that bad. That's the psychotic thing to say. I do think that Jennifer was not good at her job. Jennifer was doing a lot of what I call the no one told me effect, which is like, you can't have that when you're a boss, which is, well, no one told me that I had to do roll-ups. No one told me that that's what you do at a restaurant, which is fine when you are like, you're at your first serving job, but when you're at that level and you have to be a leader, you can't have that mindset. You have to always be in the mindset of learning. Because I know what it's like to work under a no one told me kind of person, and it is so fucking frustrating. And it makes sense to me why people are losing their temper with that all the time. But you also don't
get your temper
when you're at work. So
I'm also familiar with a no one told me owner, boss, and...
Well, no one told me that I had to use, like, QuickBooks. I think Jennifer was doing all of the, like, financial stuff, just, payroll, like, with a pen and paper. MK was like, use anything! Use a computer! Why are you making it hard for yourself? Which is a yelling that has a good intention. But Jennifer freaks out anytime you yell at her, and MK reacts anytime there's passive aggression, which sometimes, no one told me, can be passive aggressive. So, like... I see why. I am continuing to say, like, I understand psychologically what's happening here, and the result is just a fucking shit show.
Yeah.
But they're right that Jennifer does not know how to run a restaurant. She doesn't know, and it's very frustrating to work with an owner that doesn't know how to do that, and keeps saying, no one will let me do what I need to do, and then what she does is bad.
Yes, that is frustrating. I would also be frustrated if everyone who was trying to help me constantly... was also blaming me for everything.
Yes, when... that is also bad. It is an endless feedback loop of bad.
It's a whole circle of bad. It's because will be bad at his job. Jennifer will be like, you're bad at your job. Can you be better? MK would be like, don't yell at Jake. Here's how you can be better at your job. And Jennifer's like, we're not talking about me right now. We're talking about Jake. And then MK's like, well, don't be mean to Jake. You need to be doing this instead, though. And it's just like... everything's bad. It's all bad.
Yes.
Don't work with your ex-husband and his girlfriend.
Yeah, well, fucking, what the fuck?
I don't know anybody who would fucking do that.
Like, it is literally, it is only small businesses, it is only like mom-and-pop restaurants and like tiny stores that are family businesses. Other than that, like, you should not ever be working with somebody you're romantically involved with. You just shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be shitting where you eat. It's so bad. It's never good. It is bad every time.
We've said it before and we'll say it again. When you work together and live together and you have no time apart from each other, you'll hate each other. It happened to us. It can happen to you.
I know, Courtney, it's like these people don't listen to us. It's like these people on Kitchen Nightmares don't listen to this and don't listen to us. Despite our sage advice and our, but not even 30 years of living.
Barely. Almost 30 years of life. We are wise sages, and you should all come to us for romantic advice because we're both so good at it.
Especially these people in their 60s.
Oh, God. Are they in their 60s? Jake didn't look that old.
I don't even care, if we're being honest.
It doesn't matter. The ages don't matter. They're being ridiculous.
They're being ridiculous.
In this little one-on-one with Gordon, Gordon basically is like, do it for your kids, man. And then Jake goes and talks to Jennifer one-on-one.
Do it for your kids, like, man.
Jennifer's like, you need to be more supportive of me as, like, your ex-wife and the mother of your children, and not, like, always take your girlfriend's side when she's yelling at me, which I'm like, that's weird. Okay, don't put him in that position. Like, you know, like, it's hard enough.
Yeah.
But, like, don't make him choose between his ex-wife and his girlfriend, basically. Like, whatever. But that's also the issue here, is, like, no matter what Jake does, he's gonna, like, in his, not to defend Jake, again, I don't want to defend this man.
Yeah.
No matter what he does, it's going to hurt one of their feelings. If he defends Jennifer in any way and agrees with her in any way, MK's gonna get hurt. If he agrees with MK in any way, Jennifer's gonna get hurt. There's nothing to save that. You know?
So, like, man up and pick one.
Or just say, I shouldn't work in this restaurant anymore.
Yeah, that's the actual right answer.
Like, MK can work there, or I can work here. We both can't work here.
Yeah.
Neither of them should work there, but if you wanted to have one of them there, you gotta choose one. You can't have both.
Yeah.
So, maybe Jake is starting to understand it. I don't know. Either that or he's just saying what everyone wants to hear, which is typical of a man, so I'm going to go with that option. And then the renovation. Ooh, beachside. It's fun. They have fun colors and, like, little buoys and shit. It's like a beach bar now. Yay. And Gordon also, like, finds all these antique signs from, like, the old, like, decorations in the restaurant, and he puts them back up on the wall, which is really sweet. They were really cool, too. The, like, old, like, menu signs.
I love a beach aesthetic, so I was all about this.
I also love a beach aesthetic because every beach town is the same. You can always, like, guarantee that, like, you'll find the same things in every beach town. And it's always, like, a restaurant like this. It's always a restaurant like this. And I love it.
It just feels safe to me.
Yeah, it's like a little safety blanket, little restaurant safety blanket. So then they introduce the new menu, which is same as the old menu, just fresher and less of it. So they have all of these hot dogs, chili dogs, better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Jake's going to get a training sesh, which is, like, thank God. And then I wrote this in my notes, but as they were panning over the food, they kept landing on this one hot dog. And I was like, I'm sorry, but is that just, like, a deep fried hot dog in a bun? Did you notice that?
I did not notice that, but you know what? It probably was that. It probably was just a deep fried hot dog. I bet that sells unbelievably well.
I mean, I would buy it just to try it, you know? It's like deep fried anything at a fair. You just got to try it once, you know?
Yeah, I'm willing to believe that that's what it was.
And then they get to relaunch night. JWoww is there from Jersey Shore, which is fun.
I thought she was familiar.
And then, yeah. I didn't know who it was until somebody in the restaurant was like, that's JWoww from Jersey Shore.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And I was like, oh, JWoww, cool. I've never watched Jersey Shore. The only person I know from Jersey Shore is Snooki.
Yeah, she's like, and everyone, like, DJ Polly D or whatever.
Yeah, because everyone knows who Snooki is. Sorry to JWoww, I don't know who you are, but you look lovely. You look beautiful. Yeah. So the other special guest at the restaurant that night is James Avery, who is the sous chef from Hell's Kitchen, and he is there to train Jake. Hell yeah. So he basically stands at the expo station with Jake. He runs the kitchen with Jake. He's like basically kind of hovering over him the whole time. I also put this in my notes randomly because Jake at one point asked for frickles. And I was like, what's a frickle? Is it a fried pickle? Which is honestly probably what it is. But why did they call him frickles?
That's probably what that was. See, I'm glad you picked up on it because anytime that guy said anything, I didn't retain it.
It was just white noise.
It was just white noise from white guy.
A white man opens his mouth and you just hear shh.
That's, yeah. I just hear like ocean noises from my white noise machine.
It's like when the grown-ups in Charlie Brown talk, just wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, that's more accurate of what I hear.
So,
have you ever seen that one Simpsons episode? It's like really, really old. It's in like the first season when the animation is super bad. And it's when they first get Santa's Little Helper, the dog. They're trying to train him. And it keeps flashing to like Santa's Little Helper's point of view. And anytime anyone's talking to him, it's just like wah, 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 wah. And at the very end, after Bart has like given up on training, it's Santa's Little Helper again. And it's like wah, 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 sit. And then he sits. That's what it's like for me. Wah, 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 hot dog.
Yeah, exactly. So wah, 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 here's your meds. Wah, 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 wah. It's just you at the pharmacy. So
that was good. That got me.
Thank you. I'm being funny these days, so I just thought I'd try it for fun. Just a little humor in my life. So the place is filling up quick. Orders are going out quick. Everything's going great. So Gordon's like, let's throw a wrench into everything and make it suck for a minute. So he's like, James, let Jake ride solo. And the minute Jake rides solo, it falls apart. So, of course, the tickets are weird again. Communication's bad already. And then Gordon gives his classic 2-second pep talk. And then Jake gets back on track. Yay. I don't love the editing of this season. It's too canned for me. But, you know, whatever.
I get that.
I know they're trying to make it quick, and they want to, like, front-load all the drama in the episode. But, like, come on, guys. Like, I like seeing when things are, like, in real time happening at the end, too.
It's what they do, it seems like, from what I have observed, when they don't have a fridge walkthrough to do.
True, yeah.
So they did not really do a fridge focus walkthrough on the drama, because what else is there?
True. I'm sure the fridge walkthrough would have been just, like, boxes of foot-long hot dogs that are,
yeah,
like, weird.
Just frozen stuff.
And, like, bags of frozen shit. No, but if you stayed through the end and watched the, like, next week on Kitchen Nightmares little preview, we get a fridge walkthrough next episode, and it looks rough.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad.
So, everything's fine. Jennifer and MK have a little pep talk together, and they have a little heart-to-heart, and Jennifer's, like, apologizing and basically says that she wants to be friends with MK and that she sees them working together. And this is when I stood on my bed and screamed at my TV, why do you see you and MK working together? Get it together. What? Girl!
Well, I mean, Jake's not going to, so they might as well work together, you know?
And then I was like, so MK's gonna break up with Jake, you're gonna kick him out of the restaurant, and then you two are gonna run this restaurant together. Great.
That's what
love
should
that. Girl
happen,
boss it.
Yeah.
That's what should happen. That's the, like, Thelma and Louise version in my head, you know?
Yes.
And then 2 months later, they're still busy and going strong, and Gordon said if they're still open for their 100th anniversary that he will come back and eat a hot dog with them. So
amazing. I hope that happens for
that's
them.
That's the side note. Gordon's server this episode, great, great ass. Love your
yeah,
ass.
Yeah, not to, like, objectify, but I was like,
not to objectify you, but you looked incredible.
I was
that, like,
not
bike
listening
short
to Gordon.
Combo.
Yeah. I was like, your ass is incredible. Like, drop the workout
routine.
I
think her name was Christina. I think that was her name. But
yeah,
either
not
way,
to be crass, but, like, Girl,
you look great.
Yeah, snatched. You look great.
Snatched for the gods.
Thank you for saying something.
I'll say it. I'm no better than a man. But no, sorry. I'm sorry if that offends you, but also thank you
we
for
say it so
it
respectfully. You also had other qualities about you that we enjoy, that we thought you had a great personality as well.
Oh, she was a wonderful server for Gordon, too. She was also very honest. She was the one at the beginning when Gordon was like, what's wrong with the restaurant? She was like, oh, there's like a love triangle going on that's like awful. Yeah. She was the one who kind of told him about it and broke the news to him. So, you know, she's very good. And that's the end of the episode. That's the second to last episode of Kitchen Nightmares Season 1 Reboot.
Extravaganza. And what an episode it was.
What an episode. We love to yell. We love to scream. We love a man who does nothing and still gets rewarded.
Yes, girl, give us nothing.
Go, girl, give us nothing. Thank you, Dua Lipa, for your contribution. So, yeah, that's... So next week, we'll be back with the season finale of Kitchen Nightmares because A, we're bad at planning, and B, I have other things to do, and I need more time to edit. So thank you for your patience, and we will see you next week. Any other... Oh, also, after next week, so end of the year little schedule for y'all, and I'll say this again next week, too, just to remind everybody, but little housekeeping logistics. So... season finale will come out next Wednesday. Then we will be taking the rest of the year off. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy New Year to everyone who celebrates those holidays.
L'chaim.
And if you don't, happy December.
Happy passage of time to you.
Happy winter. I hope you stay warm. And so, and then we'll be back in the new year. Not sure when yet. We'll figure that out after this and logistics and like set a date for real. And we'll be picking back up in the new year with where we left off before we started the new season, which is the middle of season 3 of the original Kitchen Nightmares run. So look forward to that. It'll still come out every Wednesday, so you can still look forward to that. It'll just be old episodes instead of new ones. But yeah, that's my little housekeeping. Anything else?
Thank you, Courtney.
You're welcome. You know I'm bad at housekeeping, so...
My anything else? It's just that I'm happy to be here with you guys. My guy, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
What a wonderful time.
It's been a fun season.
This is.
Yeah. I can't believe it's almost over. I can't believe the season was only 10 episodes. I guess that makes sense, because it's, like, new again.
Well, but, you know, the real kitchen nightmare is the friends we made along the way.
Shut the fuck up. Gordon, if you're listening, love what you do.
Gordon, our DMs are open for sponsorships.
Our DMs are actually open for sponsorships, so if anybody out there wants to pay us money to shout about why we love your product, I will sell out. I'm not above it. But yeah, anyways, see you next week for the finale.
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 Okay, that was a live. That was a live vocal. That wasn't auto-tuned or nothing.
Wow, just like your TikTok story earlier. Okay, bye.